Hello, humanoids. Thank you so much for tuning in to the first campaign from Penta House Gaming. I'm Nick, and I will be running this first adventure for our three players, Seamus, Justin, and Joel, who is joining us.
Well, hello there.
This is our first go at something like a podcast, so it's beautifully imperfect, but we're improving with every episode, so be patient.
Apocalypse Tomorrow is a tabletop role-playing game called Monster of the Week by Michael Sands. It's a powered by the apocalypse-based system, and if that means nothing to you, that's okay. For those that understand that gibberish or don't care about game mechanics, you can skip to the time code
137.
But to explain it quickly, the game is helmed by one person called the Keeper. They create a mystery for the players, which are called hunters, with horrors that they must face week by week. Any action that a hunter couldn't normally do, they will roll 2 6-sided dice to attempt a move. If they roll a 10 or above, there is a great outcome for what they were trying to do. If they roll a 7 to 9, the outcome is a mixed success, costing the hunter something. If they roll a 6 or below, they fail horribly. Luckily, they learn from their failure and get an experience point. After they accumulate enough experience points, they level up. Each hunter has a different set of special moves, and if you want to know more about the hunters, you can look up the Monster of the Week playbooks, because they're available for free online.
So welcome to our game of Monster of the Week. We've adjusted some things and thrown it into a different setting, this post-apocalyptic zombie-infested world, but mainly, it's still just a silly adventure about three characters thrust into new mysteries, really just trying to survive the day-to-day. So truly, thank you for listening, and let's take a look into our not-so-distant future. The full moon, large and looming above a desolate forest. We see a figure running for their lives. Not far behind them, a zombie horde. A horde might be stretching it, but there are more than a handful, and that is more than enough to be afraid of. We whip past trees, and Seamus, who do we see running away from this horde?
You will see a mid-20s-ish, maybe late-20s man wearing a very dirty dark gray hoodie and jeans with work boots on. His hood's up, but it's as he's running, it falls back, showing baggy, dirty blonde, light brown hair. And on the left side of his face, the back part of his cheek is missing, showing the back of his jaw, bottom of his ear, and it runs down his neck to where his left sleeve is missing, showing a full zombie arm. But then the other side of his face looks normal. His left eye is like fogged white, nothing there. Carrying in his right hand is a right now empty, unloaded, sawed-off shotgun. And he is running for his life because he does not want to deal with this again.
Sprinting and running as fast as you can. They've been on your tail for a while now. Normally, you'd be fine. This wouldn't be too much of a problem. You'd be able to shake them after a while. They're not the fastest thing in the world, and certainly sprinting can get away from them. But even if you were to go at like a decent pace for a while, you'd lose them. But something happened that is making you slower and more vulnerable. What is that?
I'm going to say my right foot is twisted like almost straight sideways. My ankle is broken.
Okay, mark down 2 harm on your sheet to start with. You are running on this broken ankle, trying to get it underneath you as much as you can, but you're limping and having to drag it more than walk on it.
How far behind me are they?
About like 30 feet away from you.
Okay.
They're not gaining at the moment. But just as you kind of turn around and kind of gauge your distance, out of the corner of your eye, off to the side, you see a sickly green burst of bright light. You turn and you shield your eyes to see these long shadows cast by these green beams that shoot through the night. As the light begins to dim, you see the dark outline of a corpse-like figure about 50 feet away. The figure is thin and almost broken looking, and it floats 10 feet off the ground with an emaciated but elongated clawed hand outstretched. Its head cocked back, looking directly up into the sky with its mouth open. In an instant, they whip their head to see you and make eye contact. Two hollow sockets, deep purple glow within. The figure's mouth opens, it shrieks, a high piercing wail, and the same bright green light that you saw flashes from its hand, illuminating the horde that is now almost inches from your face as they've caught up, just out of reach. You turn and run, not knowing what the hell that was or what it was doing. Roll to act under pressure to see if you can get away from the zombies that have now caught up.
A seven.
The keeper is going to give you a worse outcome, a hard choice, or a price to pay.
That's you, Nick.
I know, it is me. I'm thinking.
Seamus, I don't think you're getting out of the tutorial, man.
That's pretty good. If I take two more points, I'm dying, so...
Yeah.
As you turn and run, one of the zombies reaches out and grasps for you. You move out of the way, but it grabs onto your shotgun, holding on tight. What do you do?
I will try and swing out and try and knock his hand off my shotgun with my other arm.
Okay. Give me a kick some ass roll.
Oh, wait. Sorry. 10.
A 10. On a 10 plus, you choose... an extra effect. So when you are kicking some ass, basically the way this works is essentially it's like a combat role where you're both doing something. So you're both always going to like take some harm in this trade.
Sick.
So on a success, like a 7 or more, you inflict harm. But if you roll on a 10 plus, which you did, you can choose to gain the advantage. You can take one forward. You can inflict terrible harm, you suffer less harm, or you force them where you want them. What do you want to do?
If I do the inflict extra harm, can I break this guy's hand off, leaving it still attached to my gun, but like snap the arm of the forearm?
Yeah, I think I would allow that for sure. So how much harm are you dealing with this just fist?
That is 2.
2, okay.
Nope, great. 3, sorry.
What?
There's an extra.
Oh, right, because you're doing the terrible harm? Or
no, just because I have, with my natural attacks, I add +1 to harm.
Oh, really? Okay. So you actually, like, lash out with, like, almost superhuman strength.
Almost.
Yeah, almost.
almost exactly that. Yeah. You could say it is superhuman.
Okay, which is a total of 4?
I guess so. I don't know.
Holy
my base is 3.
Shit. You inflict terrible harm. 4 harm is actually enough to kill a zombie outright.
Perfect lethal.
It's literally exactly enough. Tell me what it looks like as you try to do one thing and actually end up taking this thing out while suffering 1 harm as in doing so.
I'll see this thing and kind of catch me off guard in my turn, and I look as the zombie grabs my gun. It's like, no, and I'll pull the gun forward and swing back like this with my left zombified arm. Maybe when I pull forward to try and pull the gun away, it pulls him closer than I expected. And as I was swinging for the arm, I actually got him like right in the face as he lunged forward.
You smack him across the face. His head spins 180 degrees around and cocks off to the side, clearly broken. The body falls limp with the jaw just kind of snapping on the ground. You take a harm just from the kind of extra flailing it does while it flies down.
since I swung with my zombie arm and using my immortal move, I suffer one harm less, so I don't suffer anything.
So it claws just onto the arm that's already infected. You hardly feel a thing, and you take off sprinting. Your mind is racing from whatever that thing was floating in the air, the green light, and a thought enters your mind. You're getting more and more tired, and it feels like an inevitability. Just an amount of time before you tire and they catch up.
How many zombies are chasing me right now?
Like six, like a half dozen. What is your next thought?
My next thought would be that I need to try and fix this leg to get away from them faster. So if possible, I want to try and find a place to try and get up a tree while I'm running if possible. Yeah.
Okay. Incredible. As you're running, trying to find a good tree to climb, trying to find any kind of advantage, give me a read a bad situation. A five? Okay, a five is a failure. So mark experience. You try and climb a tree just to get out of the way, and you do so. You think you have one that you can get up quick enough. Your broken foot just kind of dangling as one claws at it. You manage to make your way up, and you see a light. You look up to the full moon, now a little more visible from the trees, and it casts this like kind of blue silver glow on kind of this hill that you're on. You take 1 second to breathe. You hear a cracking underneath you, and at the last second you see a second warmer glow on the edge of the hill. A tiny beacon in the dark. It's flickering. You know that it is some kind of flame-based source of light, and it's your only lead right now. The branch crashes underneath you, and you fall.
Well now, it's another beautiful morning in the desolate wastelands of South Canada. The sun is scorching, and the Super Bees, registered trademark, are still growing. I am the only voice on the frequencies, Papa Giles. You have tuned whatever you got into the Papa Giles Vastcast radio show, where the jams are as face melting as the nuclear radiation storms. Well, now, it's been nearly 50 years or so since the big collapse of civilization. And in old Pappy's opinion, good riddance. I mean, sure, do we have to deal with a few zombies every now and again, and the constant fight for your life day to day. But they had it much worse, I'll tell ya. Taxes, mortgages, pretending you have to like people. It was a dreadful time, y'all. Now, all Papa Giles needs to worry about is keeping his guns locked and loaded in case one of them zombos steps a foot on his property, and keeping these hot tunes rolling. Speaking of, this next tune is a little classical hit I believe the kids called a dubstep. Get the fuck out!
The only music to survive the apocalypse.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Holy shit.
I
was not expecting that.
We see a hand turn the dial on an old radio into the off position. The harsh sound of the rain on the tin roof is muted by the warm interior of a large farmhouse. A figure looks up, sighs, hearing a slight sizzle mixed with the rain, and they know they're going to have to check on the roof tomorrow. Joel, who do we see? What do they look like? And what are their surroundings?
Okay, I was thinking I was on the porch enjoying this excellent Giles. Poppy Giles?
Poppy Giles.
Poppy Giles broadcast. There's an old man. He's got a bit of a round face, framing, bushy, gray and silver eyebrows, kind of unkempt, going in all directions. Sporting just a very small rim of hair around the sides of his head, atop a bit of a flatter, wide nose, or small, not pince-nez, but small bifocals. He's reading some sort of journal as he's listening to Poppy Giles, and yeah.
What, this is your farmhouse.
Yes.
What does it look like on the inside?
Yeah, on the inside, it's pretty humble. It did not get much use before everything went to shit. So it's a little bare bones. Things have been kind of cobbled together. There's a couch that's got, you know, one of the cushions you can't sit on because there's, you know, like springs poking out of it and stuff. You know, the cupboards, some of them are a little crooked in the kitchen, and some just don't have doors on them anymore. Old wooden floors, lots of, you know, broken planks. Things have been replaced with different stuff. It's a bit patched together.
It wasn't in use too much before the apocalypse, and
No. When
it happened, you didn't have much time to straighten out the cupboards and make sure the doors were on straight.
I think he spent a majority of it, because he spent it a lot of it alone. Most of the time he spent in the basement to avoid dealing with people and non-people.
But you're not alone anymore. You share this space with someone else. Justin, who do we see, and where are you? What are you doing?
I think I'd be inside the homestead, maybe preparing some kind of meal for the older man of some capacity. You see a striking figure. He's got skin that's been weathered, but it almost has like this slight tinge of greeny white vibrancy that seems to come from something within him. He's got a lean, muscular build. He has a patchwork flannel and then like a jean jacket over top, kind of completing the South Canadian assemblage. He has a pair of jeans and cowboy boots as well. But the most ostentatious thing about who you see is the fact that his pupils are these like diamond shape as opposed to the normal like circle.
You are cooking something up.
I'd like to think I'm making sweet potatoes, but I don't know what that means, so I've put sugar into potatoes.
Both of you, through the rain, hear a telltale sound of moaning and scraping and thrashing, and your mind knows exactly what it is. You're fenced in. You have created some kind of defense for yourself, and we'll get into that a little more, but you do hear the sounds of a horde not too far away, coming nearer to your property. What do you two do?
I think from the porch out there... Shit, what's my name? Oh, yeah. Jacob lifts his cup of hot water and picks up his cane and turns to the door. Justin, what's your name?
Jungo.
Jungo. Give me a second.
J-U-N-G-O.
Perfect. Jungo, it's happening again. Batten it down.
Right. I'll be collecting some of the... Right, you don't want these sweet potatoes?
Oh, I'd love some sweet potatoes. What, did you find some sweet potatoes, Jungo?
Yeah, I found them.
Oh, yeah, right, okay, yes. I'd love some.
But first things first, I think we have to batten down the hatches, so to speak, right?
Down into the hole, once again.
Once more we find our way in the darkness. Such is life.
And hopefully they'll leave by morning this time. We don't need any more roommates.
No, we do not. Not after the last one.
Nasty, nasty business.
Seamus, you are sprinting down the hill as fast as you can.
You are.
You've fallen and managed to scrape your way through them as best as you can. You are going to take one more harm, which puts you unstable.
Doesn't he ignore?
This is one harm, ignore armor.
Fine.
Or, sorry, do you have three or four? Because yeah. You ignored one. Oh, you have two?
I only have two. I only have the first two you gave me.
That's right. You ignored the other one previously. Yeah. This one you're going to take, ignore armor. So you're up to three, so you're not unstable.
I don't know if this is... Well, I mean, it's up to you if it's just like ignores the immortal thing, but because that's not armor-based, it's just whenever you suffer harm, you suffer one less.
Oh,
so when I'm suffering two harm and then minus to one?
Oh, you just reduce harm. It's not an armor-based ability.
No, it just says whenever you suffer harm, you suffer one harm less.
No, I think then you don't take this harm. This is a representation of your monstrous nature as well, that you can get out of these scrapes. So, no, you don't take this harm. You fall down the tree, land on top of a zombie, kind of like make him, like, you know, just have to crawl after you with his arms now. And you begin sprinting down the hill as you actually see the lantern on the porch move indoors. You can see that there is a fence kind of haphazardly made around the property itself, and you know that you're not going to be able to just get through this. Do you want to do anything else? Do you want to shout? Do you want to, like, what do you want to do?
Yeah, as I'm running, I'll be looking at the fence, trying to see, like, how, if I can tell how tall it is and if it's possible to climb, and then also yelling out to the lantern I saw moving. I should be yelling, wait, I need help.
Jacob, you hear this.
Junko, did you say something?
Do you need help? You need help?
I don't think. I don't think I did. You see something in his throat change?
Yeah, I'm trying to find it as well.
Jacob peers out the window.
Okay. You see a mass of movement that the sound is coming from, and now that you can hear the voice, you hear or you see a solitary figure in front, just in front of this horde of zombies shouting out to you.
We got a live one, Junko. It's alive.
Are you sure?
It's yelling. Have they yelled before?
You're right. You're absolutely right.
If I saw the lantern, like, kind of go in and then come back, I'd be, like, waving my arms as I'm yelling.
Trying to make yourself as big as possible. It's really funny because you now actually look like you blended more with the zombies and their flailing arms.
Wait, never mind.
Just a regular.
That one's holding a gun.
I thought we didn't want any more roommates.
Well, we don't. We certainly don't.
Excellent. Keep the door shut, then.
We haven't seen one in months, years. What month is it?
It's March.
March. It's been a long time. Should we? Open the gate. We have to.
Or you know what? Can I read a bad situation?
You absolutely can.
Do I ask to do that, or do you tell me to do that?
No, you can totally do that. As you're kind of looking out, you're trying to figure out what's the best plan of attack. Reading a bad situation is a great way to go. Yeah, give me that roll.
Okay. It's a 1 and a 5 is 6, and I add my sharp to that?
Yes, you add your sharp.
So that's a 7.
7, okay. On a 7, you hold 1. So you get to ask one of these questions. Doesn't have to happen right away. So hold means you can kind of keep keep onto it for a little bit. What is my best way in? What is my best way out? Are there any dangers we haven't noticed? What's the biggest threat? What is most vulnerable to me? What's the best way to protect the victims? And if you act on any of the answers that I give you, you get a +1 moving forward for any of your roles as you're acting on that information, okay?
Okay. So we've dealt with hordes before. Usually they pass around the fence, kind of, as long as we don't make ourselves known. So I'm going to look for dangers I haven't noticed. I think kind of under the guise of, I think this, whatever this thing is that's talking, I'm not sure of it, so I think it might be a danger.
Right. Yes. A danger you haven't realized up until this point is that this figure is barely outrunning the horde. Normally, even in your slightly advanced age, you would be able to keep pace and be okay outrunning zombies for a little while. This figure looks like they're on their last legs, and that the danger is actually the barrier of the fence. They're not going to be able to get through right now, and they don't have a lot of space behind them.
Well, June, should we open it?
It's your place, man. Yeah, let's do it. I'll do it. Sure.
Yeah, okay. So, what do you think our fence looks like that we can open it?
This is where you guys... Okay, great. Great question, Joel. What are your defenses? What have you set up? A basic fence I gave you. What are your defenses like? What does the fence look like? This is all up to you guys.
It's a wall. One brick. A moat.
I'm thinking it's like a chain link fence, and that's what's in my head. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, cobbled together. The chains like is from different fences from the area, type of thing. So it looks a bit slapped together. So how would we get? What's the least zombie thing to do?
Doorknob.
Door.
The doorknob with one of those plastic baby things that you have to squeeze and then turn. They can't figure out the squeeze part.
They would not. It's so true.
Squeeze the knob. Squeeze the knob. You have to squeeze it.
These little rubber pieces on either side and turn.
Like, honestly, that's not a bad zombie protection.
It's not the worst.
Zombies are basically just babies.
Basically.
Let's be real.
That'll work.
Me and June are standing on the porch just shouting, squeeze the knob! You have to squeeze it!
Zombies at my heels. I'm like, yeah, I'll just squeeze it and turn, no problem.
Just squeeze the knob!
I kind of like the idea of our door being basically like the size of a pallet, and it being like you kind of have to like crouch to get under it. Zombies are less likely to kind of go down and under kind of thing.
Yeah, because they'd probably just run into it first kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
This pallet door that you have created, Seamus, your character is able to see this kind of from a distance now that you're getting closer. And you hear, Joel, give it to me one more time.
Squeeze the knob! Squeeze it!
I was like, what? Let me see a doorknob, a little plastic thing on it. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
I know it's tricky. Squeeze it.
Seamus, roll to act under pressure.
Can he have my plus one from my, the danger?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, no.
What did you roll?
No.
I rolled two ones. Plus a one from Joel is three. Plus two from me.
He's just Boys. Standing there.
Rolled snake eyes.
Snake eyes. Okay, welcome to the snake eyes rule,
shit.
Everyone. Whenever you roll snake eyes, not only do you pretty much automatically fail because even the bonuses are going to be hard to do, but a snake jumps out and attaches onto your face as you try and get to this doorknob. First of all, mark experience. Good job. I'm just going to tell you what the levels are verbatim, okay? So on a 10 plus, you do what you set out to do. Great. 7 to 9, the keeper is going to give you a worse outcome, hard choice, price to pay. On a miss, things go to hell. You try and open the door. A snake jumps out of the grass and attaches itself to your face, blinding you temporarily as it...
Okay, that was a joke.
No. It's on
my good eye. I can't see shit.
You can't see. You're fumbling with the door.
I don't think he's squeezing.
You with your hands. Squeeze it.
Because you said that your door is like, it's shorter, right? You have to like...
Yeah.
Bro, yeah, I feel like I came running. I saw a short door and I just went into a slide and just went right into the door.
Fuck.
And then all of a sudden, snake.
Fly tackle into the door, snake in the face. You're just in trouble. You manage blindly to get the door open. And as you do, the horde runs into you and past you. Jacob.
Wait, so is the snake guy's rule that you get bit by a snake?
Yes. Jungo, Jacob, you see this figure get to the door. You can't see quite past it, so they disappear behind it. You see a snake jump out of the grass briefly. You hear screaming. The door opens, and this figure stumbles through and falls down, and behind him, the zombies come in through the gate open. What do you do?
Dear.
They have some kind of intelligence now.
They squeezed the knob. All of our defense is foiled.
They learned to squeeze.
Do you want me to take you downstairs?
I need to run to my study first. Snakes, we need anti-venom for this person?
They are thrashing on the ground, trying to get up still. There are zombies, like, closing in on them, and the rest of them are spreading into the fence, into your yard. What are you two doing?
He's come this far. We must get him.
Do you want to... Okay, let's go. Or do you want to get the anti-venom? I'll go.
I'm gonna get the anti-venom.
Okay, I'll buy time.
Okay. Jacob, you head back into the house. Jungo, you sprint out towards the figure. We're going to start with you, Jungo. What are you doing?
Okay. So going by my character sheet, I'm going to rip out of my forearm here this little tiny fork made of copper.
Out of your forearm? Excuse me? No, you need a little more description than that. What?
So in my forearm, there is clearly like scarring. And there's a piece of metal in my forearm, and I rip the skin off and yank the fork out.
Okay.
Fork dragging your arm the whole time.
So it's based off of the what I need, when I need it. You may store any small object you own, putting it into a magical space nobody can get to. So it's in my arm.
Which, you could have gone pretty blue with that, so I'm proud of you. Good for you.
The skin's going to begin stitching itself back together in some weird way, or it's just going to bleed everywhere. I don't know. It doesn't matter to me. And I'm going to take this copper fork that has always, when I woke up the first time, it was there. It was the first thing I saw. I see the focus on the snake, but my immediate is to try to, like, almost like be like a football lineman and try to, like, block them from getting towards the house.
Okay, so the ones that are kind of filtering around a little bit, you are dealing with six zombies right now.
Easy.
As they kind of filter towards you, what are you going to try and do?
I'm going to try to plunge this copper fork into one of their skulls.
I love it. Kick some ass, my man. Give me that roll. Add your plus tough.
Pretty good. Total of 12. Rolled a 6 and a
4. Oh my goodness.
Damn.
Because you rolled a 10 plus, you can choose to gain advantage and take one forward or give one forward to another hunter. You can inflict terrible harm, which is plus one harm. You suffer less harm, or you force them where you want them.
And the go forward, is that like a plus one to someone else kind of thing?
Yeah. You take it forward, which means on your next roll, you get a plus one, whatever the roll is. Or
one of the you can choose.
Yeah, you give that next plus one to someone else, which in this case, you wouldn't be able to give it to Jacob because he's not there.
I was going to say, as I plunge the skull as best as I can, I'm going to see the newcomer thrashing with the snake. And I'm going to be like, there's someone in the house who's getting anti-venom. Just get in there as fast as you can. I'm going to give him the forward, the plus one.
A plus one to you, Seamus, as you hear someone else beginning to help you. Justin, for your copper fork, what? How much harm is that?
Three
harm. You stab it.
Holy damage, by the way. Holy damage.
Okay.
From just a
important.
Normal fork.
Okay. Yes. Holy damage.
It's my silver current.
Yes, okay.
I would have gone with a pitchfork, not a normal
no,
fork.
No, it's a fork.
Wait, your silver trident is a copper fork? Oh, yeah. You're so good, Justin. I love it. You stab this fork, it goes into their eye, and you just weren't expecting a little more resistance, and so it just goes directly, like, through their skull, and you see a bit of purple mist, almost, just briefly, and then you pull your hand out, and this zombie is looking very bad already, but still kind of comes towards you. And right before you take the fork out of their eye, they kind of lean into it and reach for you and kind of scratch at your chest, dealing one harm to you.
All right. We haven't seen this purple. I haven't seen this purple mist before, right? Just to clock it for like future.
Yeah, no, I would say you have seen it. This is okay. Common for you to see.
This is common,
see.
Okay.
Jungo, you are on the ground. This snake, sorry, not Jungo. Seamus, your character is on the ground. Their snake is on his face. You.
Do I feel like I'm being poisoned right now, or is it just biting me?
It's just biting you right now.
Okay.
Just a garter snake.
It's a fake snake. It's not even real. I'm just freaking out.
It's one of the traps.
Yeah. We had a box of snakes in the entrance.
One of those rubbered ones with a string that's tied to me, and I'm just freaking out thinking it's a fake snake.
It was picked up in research. Zombies have an aversion to snakes for some reason.
You have this on your face. You've stumbled to the ground. You're through the door, and just as you try and get up, a zombie falls on top of you, clawing and trying to bite you. You hear someone else helping and seeming to be calling out. You hear at least two voices, but you hear one close to you right now, and that gives you a little bit of inspiration and motivation to feel like you might have a chance. If you were alone now, you would be dead.
I'm going to try and wrestle the zombie off of me.
Okay.
Trying to claw back at it.
Okay. Awesome. I think this would also be a kick some ass roll.
Do it, baby. Do it.
Give me that roll.
And I have a plus one from Justin.
Oh, yes. And your plus two.
Plus one from Justin for my, that's just for my next roll.
Yeah, for this roll.
So that'll be 8.
8 total. Okay, awesome.
8 total.
Like, you're obviously trying to push the zombie off of you.
Yeah. Yeah, so if it's, like, clawing at me, I'd be just trying to, like, throw it off and get away, mostly.
It kind of claws and tries to bite at you. It grabs into your arm, and as you push it away, its claws are still in, and they just rip out your arm, but it's on your zombie arm, luckily. So the one damage you would normally take does not take, and...
Wait, that's so good. That's so good.
Very good for the zombies, especially. It's really huge. If they were able to bite you, it would be a bit of a different story, maybe. But and you're doing harm. How much harm with your base attack?
So I have with my base attack, I have 2 harm, but then I get to add extra 1 to it.
Oh.
So instead of having 2 attacks, I have 1 attack, but I get to add extra damage to it.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
Can I say that I... push the zombie off, not really dealing harm, to do like 1 harm to it, the extra harm, and then I deal the 2 for clawing to the snake that's on my face to get rid of it. I go to push, but then I the snake gets caught in my hand as I push the zombie off, and I just rip the snake like in half.
You kind of pin it in between the face of the zombie and your hand, and as you shove the zombie off of you, the snake kind of goes with it off to the side. Sure, the zombie will take 1 harm there,
and then I will scramble away.
Okay, you scramble away, able to see, you turn a lean and striking figure with kind of this green-white skin glowing in the moonlight, fighting off a zombie with a copper fork.
Is it the same green glow from the rather large, skinny fellow I saw in the woods? Not as bright, but like same color and everything?
This is where... In D&D, I'm trying to switch my brain over because, like, I would be like, make an investigation or an insight check. And I'm trying to think if there's
investigate anything. Investigate a mystery?
Yes, sure. Investigate a mystery. Sure. Give it to me.
8.
8. On an 8, you hold 1. So you can choose one of these questions. What happened here? What sort of creature is it? What can it do? What can hurt it? Where did it go? What was it going to do? What is being concealed here? Some of those won't apply, but...
I'd probably do what kind of creature is it, because it obviously doesn't look like a human because it's green and glowing.
It is a human. However, they look like they have been affected in some capacity. Not affected it in the way you have, and not affected in a monstrous kind of way. The virus that you all have been surviving against turns creatures and people into horrible, horrific things. You don't see that from this person.
Oh. So I can tell that it's like zombie
adjacent. Section.
It's related, but it's not. He's obviously not a zombie. He's not like half zombie like I am. He's
something, but
affected by it somehow.
Yeah, you don't know exactly what it is, but there's something different about him.
In his hand for a zombie's head right now.
Yeah,
perfect. So then I would, seeing that, I would scramble. I'd try and get back up to my foot and work my way towards him, but seeing someone else fighting zombies as I'm doing that, I would try to pull my hood up a little bit just to cover that, because the biggest problem on my face is towards the back, so when my hood's up, it's kind of hard to see.
It's the left side, right?
Yeah, left side.
You scramble up to your feet, flip the hood up. Jacob, we're going to cut to you. You scramble into the house. What are you looking for? Where are you going?
I'm off to the infirmary to see if I can... I've got some anti-venom tucked away somewhere.
What does the basement look like? Because this is your haven.
I picture the basement like pristine, white, medically clean, top of the line technology. Like the upstairs, like some cabinet doors, basement's just top of the line mint.
Sterile.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think before June showed up, Jacob spent all his time in the basement because he was just trying to avoid raiders and zombies and everything like that. So he spent all of his time in the basement so that the top floor looks disheveled and run through while he hid in kind of this cellar to just avoid detection. So like there was times when there were people that stayed in his house for like a few days and he just was quiet in the basement and just didn't allow them to know. So that's kind of his place. That's his
You're
that's
talking
his
like
shtick.
Survivors from the apocalypse, like squatting for a few days and then moving on. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and he just didn't want to talk to them.
Right.
Just didn't want to let them know he was there. So he just hid in the basement very quietly.
Yeah, we'll flesh out this space a little more because I think you guys will be spending a lot of time there. But as you run into the basement, what are you looking for?
Antivenom, this here.
You're looking for different snake venom. Easy enough to find. You grab one, you grab a syringe, load it up, ready to go. Anything else?
He rushes over to his desk, fumbles around on it for a little bit, and opens a few drawers. Gun. And he finally pulls it out from, it's like suspended under his desk, like there's a holder there, so it's not in a drawer, and he pulls it out, and it's just this ugly, like he stole it from a gun show, and it's like a 44 Magnum with just like an absurd barrel. He's not a guns fellow. He doesn't like guns, but he's got this just like big ass Magnum. Gun, anti-venom, let's go up the stairs.
Gun. I love that. Gun.
It's somewhere.
The giant revolver.
The anti-venom, and you run back upstairs. We cut back, Jungo. You see this character get up, get the zombie and the snake off their face with some force, and kind of stand up. You two are kind of at this moment where you're both like, huh.
Yeah, Jungo is going to look over to you, see your hood quickly fly up. You look pretty strong, but there's still six of them. I think head inside. I'll be right behind you. I can see you're a little slower right now.
Hobbling along.
Do you want me to carry you?
I'm good. I got it.
Okay, go. There's someone there who can help. If I die here, no worries. And I'm gonna try to finish the one.
It's cool. It's fine.
I'm gonna try to finish the one off, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Make another kick some ass.
All right, let's do it. That's
a 5 total.
Mark experience on a miss. Experience. You get your ass kicked instead.
Ah, good.
But don't inflict any harm back.
As Jungo says that, you begin slowly going your direction. You immediately hear him start screaming as
Something happened.
The zombie that you have, after you pulled the fork out, the momentum of it kind of carried it forward, and it goes for you, clawing at you. It's going to deal one harm to you, and you are not able to deal any harm back to it. You begin running inside, right? You two are kind of like turning and going in.
The door flies open and an old man steps out with a big syringe and a big gun. I'll get him! Come here!
You found the gun!
I'm just like, oh shit!
Gun! Gun!
Gun!
Is it loaded?
Yes! Yes!
I feel like I'm running and I'm just coming out of the door as the door bursts open. This guy comes up with a gun and a fucking syringe and I just died to the side.
I'm imagining the Doug Dimmadome of guns. The barrel just keeps going
up.
So big.
The gun comes out the door about 5 seconds before fucking Jacob does.
Jacob, do you begin unloading on these zombies?
I think if Seamus' character is near...
I dive actually, out right to the side as soon as I see this gun come out the door.
I don't see him. I think I'm worried about June, I think. I think he opens the door and he's worried about Jungo.
You see like the zombie like on me right now.
Yeah, so with that in mind, do I need to read about a situation before I do that, or do I just go?
If you want to just act on it, I'm looking through the moves and stuff. It's going to be some kick some ass. Yeah.
Fighting stats. Just
oh, good. You're the one with a gun. Okay, now, I will say if... Okay, what does Jacob want to do? Does Jacob want to pop out the door, say gun, and start unloading? Or does he want to take a second and be like, maybe I should give this to someone else to unload? It's up to you. What would Jacob do?
Right.
In this situation, they are not in a good state right now. There's a zombie not looking too bad that Jungo's fighting, but the rest of them are, there's still six of them up.
You know, actually... To decide, can I do a read a bad situation? Because he went in there looking for anti-venom. So his goal was, like, he went in there with the intention of getting anti-venom for this person. So that was kind of his on the forefront. And then kicking open the door, he sees Jungo in trouble. And so I don't know how we would make that decision.
Absolutely. Or, like, read a bad situation. Yep. Give it to me.
Try my bones dice.
Plus sharp.
Plus sharp. That's a 7.
Okay, on a 7 to 9, you get to hold one. What is my best way in? What is my best way out? Are there any dangers we haven't noticed? What is the biggest threat? What's the most vulnerable to me? What's the best way to protect the victims?
What's the best way to protect the victims?
Yeah, as soon as I read that one, I knew you were going to go for it.
I got two of them, and me.
Right now, creating space would be the best thing you can do.
Is our door into our homestead, is it also a squeeze?
I would assume you've put a squeeze on there as well.
Excellent.
I feel like every door in this entire place has a child
squeeze
thing on it.
Excellent.
Jacob's not very tall. He's only like 5.5 feet. So
you raided the Babies R Us and grabbed all the doorknobs. Just a whole bunch of baby products ready to go, guaranteed to be able to put on any fence, cupboard, door, latch, anything you can think of.
Okay, well, if we raided the Babies R Us, then I would like to grab one of our baby powder boxes from just inside and throw it towards Jungo like a smokescreen.
You want to throw it and blow it up?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Act under pressure as you launch this baby powder into the air and shoot it, exploding it into a smokescreen. This is plus cool.
Oh, no. Snake eyes. Snake eyes.
No! Second snake.
A snake comes out from underneath the porch, attaches itself to your face.
I get an experience point. Do I get 2 experience points?
No. Mark experience.
Fuck me.
We're not gonna get episode 1, guys.
TPK episode 1.
You launch the baby powder into the air. A snake flies up from underneath the porch, attaches itself onto your face, and you shoot wildly, managing to hit the baby powder, but too early as it blinds Jugo and Seamus's character running inside. It was not far enough behind to create a smoke screen. It has instead blinded you two as you run forward into this just cloud of smoke. It gets into your lungs, it gets into your nose and your eyes, and you cannot see, you cannot breathe, and the horde behind you begins to move a lot closer. What do you all do?
I'll wait for Seamus to go first.
I feel like I would die to the ground trying to get out of the way of this guy firing his gun.
Bang, 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 bang.
I'd be like, I'd reach up into, like, under my hoodie where I have, like, I feel like I have, like, an ammo belt of, like, I've got, like, three more shells, maybe, underneath my hoodie. So I'm reaching under to try to pull up these shells to try and load my shotgun. Because this obviously just went to shit right away. The guy's like, yeah, get inside, I'll protect you. He gets taken out immediately. This other guy comes out and starts just taking the shit and blinds everybody. I haven't seen a snake in years. Here I've seen two immediately. So, obviously, these guys like snakes, so I'm trying to load my shotgun up and like trying to get the rub the shit out of my eyes at the same time.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. You manage to reload your shotgun. You, like, scrape your eyes clean and try to see. Jugo is just coughing and trying to clear their eyes as well. The zombies are right behind you. You actually see the zombies closing in on Jugo now, and they're going to attack. What do you want to do?
How far away from Jugo am I?
Like 10 feet. Like, you can close the distance pretty easily.
Yeah, I would try and get back to my feet if I see a zombie closing in, and I'll try and get close to him and unload. My match is shotguns. It's like a classic double barrel with like double trigger, so I got, it's like two shots at once. And I reload, and I'm gonna try and shoot one at the zombie right behind him.
Sweet. Okay, as you're kind of like going in to try and like get them off his back and stuff, I'm actually gonna make you roll protect someone. It's still plus tough.
Nine.
Awesome. On a 7-9, you protect them okay, but you'll suffer some or all of the harm they were going to get. As Jugo, as you can't see, you're coughing, you're blinded, you feel a clawed hand on your back begin to dig in, and you feel the hot breath of a zombie closing in on your neck, and then you feel it ripped away, and that bite actually going into something else. The movement was there. You felt it come in onto your neck, but something protected you and got in the way. And actually, Seamus, with your negating of harm, you don't take any damage as that bite goes into your arm, the one that nice has been here. Infected, and you manage to protect Jugo from a bite. And you all know the claws hurt. The bites change people.
When we say blinded, like, am I, they're like within a foot of vision, give or take, or like nothing?
It's not quite as mechanical as that. You're just in a worse position than you were for what you're trying to do now. Basically, the kind of the way this baby powder has worked is it slowed you guys down enough and allowed the zombies to like get right up on you. None of them are dead. There are six zombies closing in on the two of you within arm's reach.
Did Justin kill one right away?
It should be like if there's
it has one HP.
To kill one is one.
Yeah.
Essentially, if I see the guy we're trying to save pull a guy away, I'm gonna give him like a nod, like a thank you nod, and I'm gonna try to kill the one that's been hurt by my fork already.
Okay, yeah, give me a kick some ass. Yeah, absolutely.
That is it's an 11.
Nice, dude. On 11, you inflict the harm.
Playing like a character. Type that I've never played before. So
this is awesome. Yeah. No, yeah.
I have a minus one to a charisma kind of stat here, guys.
There you go.
Something different here.
You also get to choose an extra effect. Not only do you deal the harm, so you're going to kill this thing automatically, you know, with the base harm done, but you get to choose another effect on a 10 plus. So you gain advantage. You get to take plus one forward, or you can give it to another hunter. You inflict terrible harm, probably don't want to do that. That one's already dead.
Yeah.
You suffer less harm because when you're fighting, you both are taking the damage, or you force them where you want to.
Okay, I'm at 2 harm right now. Is Jacob within a range for me to like to pay it forward?
Absolutely.
I'm going to call it. I'm gonna give Jacob the pay it forward. Because I need the gun to work.
You need the gun to work. You pay it forward to Jacob. As Seamus' character kind of saves you and you kill this zombie, sloughing it off to the side. It is dead. It is gone. There are 5 of them left. What do you say to Jacob?
Jacob!
What I said. Gun!
What do you want to do, Jacob?
I'm just gonna try to maneuver with Seamus's character. Keep going, yeah.
Absolutely. Jacob.
Is the one that he just killed the one that bit me, or is it
different? Yes, one that bit you. Okay.
I'd like to toss the anti-venom at our new arrival. I've got anti-venom in one hand, so I clear the baby powder from my eyeballs.
Yeah, there's a snake on your face.
I forgot about the snake! Shit!
It's on your face. Attached.
Not now! Can I throw the anti-venom to... toss it to him, and then I'm gonna... Oh, fuck, do I open fire on a zombie? I got a +1, which means I'm a flat roll.
Sure.
There you go.
The chances are in my favor.
Fire away!
Brushes the snake aside from his face, just so it's not in the vision, and he wipes his eyes. Oh, my glasses. Yes. Toof.
Right in your face.
Give me a kick some ass roll.
The barrel's just right at me.
That is a 10.
Go!
Not only do you inflict harm, but you get to choose another effect. Advantage, taking it or giving it to someone. Inflict extra harm, suffer less harm, or force them where you want them. What do you want to do?
I don't think this is really any of them, but I kind of like the idea of, like, Jacob's not a gunman. I kind of like the idea of him not having fired this thing very many times, so he wasn't ready for the kick, so it fired, and it, like, came up and hit the snake in the head.
Yeah, absolutely.
For extra harm, on a different target.
Incredible.
For the snake. Whack, he hits himself in the head with the gun.
Extended barrel. It kicks back so hard. It smashes you in the face. Luckily, it's like blocked and like kind of bumpered by this snake that just squishes into your face. But in doing so, the snake is dead and you're okay. What's the harm for the gun?
Oh, I should look. The gun has a harm of, I think it's okay. Say here I have the magnum, which is 3 harm. Oh, it does say it's close. Does this count as close?
You would all be within so close. Technically there is a tag for this.
Yeah, it's 3 harm, close, reload, loud.
Okay, so hand is like what you would call in D&D your 5 feet, like within reach. Close is like a 10-foot-ish deal, 10 to 15, right? It's like a little loose. In this case, you are absolutely close enough to have done the damage. It's 3?
Yeah.
Damn.
3 harm.
The one that Seamus's character originally tossed off when you tossed the snake off your face, who had taken the 1 harm, goes down. You are down to the 4 zombies and cleared of the ones grabbing hold of them. Jacob, you just launch this gun into your face. You kind of like have this like, as it hits you for a second, you're dazed. You see stars for just like a brief second, and then you realize you got one.
What does reload mean in terms of numbers?
Reload. This weapon has limited ammunition. We're going to say you're 6 shots, right? After you fire 6 times, keep track of that.
Yeah.
You'll need to like spend time to do that. Like you won't be able to like on that next action shoot type deal.
Reload and fire. Well, I feel like I burned 1 to shoot the thing, 1 to shoot the zombie, and I probably burned another at least 2 once
just for
the
fun.
Snake latched onto my face, kind of thunk. So I'm down
you,
to 1 or 2 rounds.
You
okay,
two,
good to know. Thank you.
Have this moment where there aren't zombies right at your back, and you're running towards the house. Jacob, you've kind of cleared the way. You've got the snake off your face. You're kind of standing back up and ready to go. What are you all trying to do?
To the door.
Inside? Inside?
I'd be looking behind me, too, if there's a zombie, like, within close coming at us, because I obviously don't want to just leave them
in the
yard.
Yeah, if you've got it, sure. Yeah, unload. Some shots if give me a kick some ass.
You also have the anti-venom on you.
I didn't feel like I got venomed at all.
Not at the moment.
Sick. Roll an 8 for kick some ass.
On that, you deal harm to each other. So what is the harm on your thing?
3.
Awesome.
You say 8? Oh.
And you take 1 harm. However, you are superior strong, so you don't take any as you launch off a couple shots from your shotgun, cock it, have to reload it, and begin to just head inside. You all are able to make it inside, close the door with the grip secure on the outside.
Yeah, the squeeze lock.
Squeeze it.
Squeeze lock's good to go. And you close the door.
I do up all the bolts.
All right.
I don't know why I feel like it's just like 9 of the chain locks.
So I can still see outside.
Yeah, you can still open it, but it takes a while.
You all, for a moment, hear the and the
to the hole.
He means downstairs. Let's go.
I have an idea for how I've hidden downstairs.
Okay.
It's just a hole.
Well, because I didn't want people to know this place had a basement. It's just a pit.
You have to go down the sink.
We call it the snake pit.
No one will jump down this hole. There's no. That's just stupid.
All the snakes are coming from the snake pit.
They're off of the snake pit.
I kind of like the idea of that old, like, you know how old busted couches are, like, weigh a ton?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I kind of like the Wallace and Gromit idea of, like, the couch, like, pivoting up. And then that's where I've hid the stairs, and then it flunk backs down.
I love it.
That's actually
yeah.
incredible.
So Jacob lifts up the couch. In.
You all shuffle, hurry downstairs. The couch shuts above you. And for the meantime, you are safe. And all of you kind of pile into this space for a moment. Take a second, listen, hear the distant thudding on the outside door. You wait a second, you hear a small window smash, but it doesn't sound like it's leading to anything like necessarily coming inside the house for now. And you exhale. Finally able to breathe from what really could have been the end of your lives.
Welcome to the hold.
Thank you for bringing me in. I don't know what I would have done without you.
Sorry about the doorknob. It's tricky. I get it. You squeeze and twist.
Yeah, it slowed me down a little bit, but I'm sorry for letting all the zombies in.
You wouldn't be the first. It's
wasn't
okay.
Wasn't my intention.
You know.
It's quite the place.
Oh, let me have a look at you. You've taken a bite or two, yes?
I would kind of like look down at my arms. Like, I mean, that was a while ago. Because as you guys would notice, I've like sleeveless on my left arm. It looks like a full zombie arm.
Oh my.
Jacob.
Yes.
With your background and from experience, not yourself, but from what you've seen, it's pretty cut and dry. A zombie bite leads to an infection in the blood, and it takes exactly 60 minutes until that person is no longer themselves and they're gone. You see an amount of decay and degradation on his arm that should not be there. It is months old.
there's a slight click as the hammer is pulled back on the 44. He puts an arm around, like, in front of Jungo.
When I hear the click, I drop the shotgun.
How old?
And, like, I promise.
How old is that?
Months. It was months last when I was bitten. And it spread to a point, and it stopped.
It's not possible. No. No, I don't think so. Tell me again, how
if
old?
Jacob's saying it's not possible. It's not possible.
I didn't think it was possible either, but it was months ago. It was here, and I show a point, part of my where my forearm was just like a chunk missing. Like, you'd see it through the decay, that it's like there's a clear bite mark. I was bitten months ago, and it spread up my arm, and then I pull my hood back, and it's like up my neck. It's up my neck, and like the back of my cheek is gone, and that eye's all fogged. That's as far as it spread. I thought I was a goner as well, but.
What's happening here, Jacob?
I hand the gun to Jungo.
Gun.
You. Gun. Gun safety. Don't wave it. May I look?
Sure.
Okay. Is this investigate a mystery? To me, it's a mystery.
Yeah.
He pulls up his glasses a little bit and takes a pen from his desk and just approaches slowly.
No.
That's an 8 plus... Oh, no, sorry.
I would hold out the left arm, and my right arm would just be like this, just showing that like I'm not doing anything. You're free to do whatever you want.
Okay. That's a 10 total.
On a 10 plus, you hold 2. What that means is you can like ask one, and
right.
then information can happen. The scene
right.
can continue, and you can ask another one later if that information... You want to, like, use it there type deal. So you don't have to use both right away or either right away. But here's what you get. You can choose 2. What happened here? What sort of creature is it? What can it do? What can it hurt? Where did it go? What was it going to do? What is being concealed here? Some of those won't apply, but...
So he knows that this should have killed this person.
What you are seeing is impossible.
Right.
You know the timing, and you are seeing the correct amount of decay for what he's saying months ago. But he's not rabid. He's not trying to bite you, you know?
Right.
Like, these two do not line up at all.
Okay, Jacob approaches, at first fully kind of consumed by this strange happenstance. And he looks from the bite and sees, okay, typical. And then as it hits your shoulder and fades out, he's very interested as how the veins are going there. Typically, they would just continue down that path. So he's looking, you know, why did it stop here? Why is it continuing?
Just on that note, it doesn't stop at my shoulder. It runs up my arm, up my neck. And but it's just like the hoodies. I still got the shoulder part of the sleeves, but it runs so up my neck and it stops at my cheek there.
Okay.
Where like there's a hole through and about you can see my back molars.
Right.
You're looking at the transition space between where it's zombified to clean skin.
And then from what you would see is the zombie part continues down into the hoodie onto my chest. You can't see where it ends, but it's it continues down through.
It's stopped at you just before your heart.
And then he takes a step back.
Apologies. Dr. Jacob Loomis, you are?
My name's Colton. You call me Colt, though.
Colt. Good to meet you, Colt. You are... Wowee, son. You are something else. What about your leg?
No, it stops, and I lift up my hoodie, and it comes down to, like, just, like, the bottom of my ribs.
Ooh, that's...
But it's like you can see all of my ribs and, like, into, like, my organs on the inside. Like, the organs look fine, but it's just, like, yeah, it's all decayed down the side of my ribs.
That's horrifying.
That's not right at all. That's... Wow. Wowee.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what stopped it or why, but it's not ideal.
Well, if someone can figure it out, it's maybe me.
And then I gaze upon the foot. Oh, my. That. Can you feel that? I poke a foot.
No,
can you feel that?
Honestly, right when you notice it, I kind of also like, oh, Oh shit, rat. I'll just kind of like find a chair and sit down and like look at it and do the whole like snap it back into place.
Oh.
And I'm going to try to use my unquenchable vitality to heal myself.
What is unquenchable vitality?
It's a move I have, and whenever I've taken harm, I can heal myself. I roll a plus cool. On a 10 plus, I heal 2 harm and stabilize. On a 7 to 9, I heal 1 and stabilize. On a miss, I hurt myself more.
Amazing.
Can I assist?
So, in order to help, you have to roll, I believe, a 7 to 9. Yeah, plus cool.
Right.
One thing before he... Because I rolled a 10, so I heal it myself.
Oh.
But I feel like I lift it up, and he's going like, as his doctor's calling, oh, here, let me help. And I'm just like, oh, that's... And I just snap it back, and it's just good.
Are you okay, Jacob?
Yes, I'll be fine. Ooh. That is gnarly. Wow-wee. Yuck. Okay.
Exactly what you want your doctor to say.
Wow-wee.
Yuck. Wow-wee. Yuck.
Yikes. Yikes. Wow. You know, I've set a few arms in my day, but that, wow. Sheesh.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the, I guess, upsides of this whole deal. I'm like just kind of rolling my ankle and making sure all my toes or my foot's working good. Yeah, I can just kind of fix myself to a point.
What about the snake? I saw you received a snake bite.
Yeah, I don't. That came
as you
out of
see
nowhere.
the exact snake bite on Dr. Loomis's face.
Pesky bastards are everywhere.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot of snakes around here. I haven't say I've seen a snake in a long time, but
they're in everything.
Is that why there's no doors on the cupboards, just so you can see the snakes?
Yeah, because do you want to know what sucks? Is opening a cupboard to find a snake.
I believe it. I tried to open a door and found a snake, so...
I hate them.
I barely made it past the baby handle because of the snake.
Right, squeeze and twist. Yeah, snakes can't do it either.
Oh, and I guess I would pass you back your anti-venom. Thank God that wasn't venomous. I shouldn't need this, I don't think.
No?
I mean, I feel fine, given
okay.
The present circumstances.
Well, keep me posted, I guess. And I just take the syringe and jab it into my neck. Ah, that's good stuff. Mm.
Are most of the snakes around here venomous? Or...
Some are, some aren't. I don't know what bit me, but better safe than sorry.
Better safe than sorry.
I guess that's fair.
As the three of you are kind of taking all of this in, Colton, you kind of now re-notice appearance of Jungo, and that they don't look entirely human either.
Now, pardon my curiosity, but what exactly are you?
Me? I don't really know. I woke up not that long ago, maybe a year ago or so. I've always kind of looked like this. I know it's a little weird, but yeah, I'm Jacob has like. He doesn't glow like I do, and I mean, you're not the same either. It looks like you kind of have a normal side too, on top of the zombie side, which looks very flattering, just so you know. The hood really adds to it. I like it.
I think it's yucky, but that's okay.
It's like, yeah, I mean, I'm kind of more with Dr. Jacob on that one, but I appreciate it.
I think it's neat.
Neat's a word for it, I guess.
I did have a question. The zombie that bit you, it's obviously not normal. Was it a different zombie? Was it anything different about it?
I mean, not that I noticed.
Okay.
At the time, I was a little preoccupied to look real close, but...
That's totally fair. But yeah, to answer your question, I've always looked like this. It kind of, when the sun rises, it'll get a little less glowy. But at night, yeah, you really see it, huh?
Right. But you didn't get bit?
I don't think so. Maybe when I was asleep.
Not in the traditional sense.
How does one get bit in an untraditional sense?
I'm not entirely sure. It's a bit up in the air as to what our friend Jungo here is dealing with, but both of you boys seem to have some serious uniqueness to the two of you.
We could probably fix that too.
Yep. I'm an old man.
Does Jacob have any like wounds upon him besides the snake? Like, are you full harmed, unharmed?
Snake bite in the face.
I got snake bite to the face. I don't, Nick, did I take harm from the snake bite to the face?
I don't think you mentioned it. In this case.
I've got some scars and stuff. I've been in the wasteland since the beginning. So, you know, I've got scars. I do walk around often with a cane. He's got a bit of a goof foot. But he's otherwise healthy.
Colton, are you from around here? Different county?
I mean, I wouldn't say I'm from around here, but I've been around here. I just kind of go wherever it takes me that there are less zombies.
That makes sense.
Unfortunately, I found a couple friends as I was wandering the woods. But speaking of which, did you guys see that bright green light in the woods? Or
no, I don't believe
I
we
saw
did.
Nothing. I was making sweet potatoes.
But you found sweet potatoes?
They were delicious.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I asked.
I didn't think there were any sweet potatoes left.
Well, you never know what happens when you just really look for something.
You begin to sweat.
You know what they say. Cooking is magic.
They do say that.
I guess. I've never been one to cook, but...
Oh, really? You can't...
It's good to know that.
You came to the right place, then.
Apparently, if you've got sweet potatoes, I haven't had those in... feels like years.
Colton, may I take another gander?
Sure. What would you like to gander at?
Nick, what were my options for that? Because I don't think I used either of them.
Yes, this is true. This was investigate a mystery. What happened here? What sort of creature is it? What can it do? What can hurt it? Where did it go? What was it going to do? What is being concealed here?
I'm going to go with what is being concealed here. I'm curious as to why the infection... Do I know what type of infection? Like, it's a virus, specifically?
So, because of your research, and before even kind of everything went to absolute hell, you know that the zombie incursion is a virus. It's a virus-based kind of system. If I'm not reading too much into this, I think kind of what you're asking is, like, why did it stop?
Why did it stop? Yeah, I guess that's...
And,
yeah.
I'm not going to take your hold on this because the answer is you really don't know.
Okay.
There seems to be no indication as of why. Colton seems to be a generally healthy mid-20s male.
Right.
And he got bitten just like everybody else did. And for whatever reason, it stopped. So I'm not going to use your hold on that because it's
okay,
kind
cool.
of... It is kind of the question, right?
That is,
why
yeah.
did
yeah,
it
that's
stop? So,
because he's kind of Jacob has some experience working with like strange physiology, as like he didn't know, you know, he wasn't too much about Jungo's like production, like what he's about, but he's spent some time studying over the past, you know, year, and like so this like weird, you know, superhuman physiology is something he's kind of on the hunt with.
For sure.
I'm going to try for what can hurt it. And I know that seems kind of strange, but mm-hmm. I saw Colton receive a fair amount of damage with very little consequence. So Jacob's almost curious about what do I have to be on the lookout for what can hurt him?
Seamus, mechanically, is there anything specific? If not, I have a full thing for this.
No, it's not so much that only certain things hurt me. It's just I have like almost resistance to damage in D&D terms.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Right.
So anything will hurt me if there's enough damage of it.
So this works out well. So as you kind of think about this question, you think back to your general knowledge, your general research of the zombie infestation. copper has worked well. Copper and viruses do not work well together. Copper tends to be a natural deterrent of viruses, and how much it actually works against the zombies, you are not entirely sure. However, it does seem to absolutely affect them. Zombies themselves, you also know, all of you, that decapitation, always the way to go. It is what is considered in the Monster of the Week terms a weakness, as well as copper. This knowledge of copper was kind of one of those last things that was spread throughout the masses before everything went dark. That's where your internet, radio, satellites, everything shut down. And easy enough, you have a simple kind of copper blade just goes lightly into Colton's skin on his forearm. You see the same dark oozing blood that comes out of zombie corpses. The flesh around it peels back the same way it would against any kind of copper, almost not sizzling, but this almost like hissing retraction against the metal, and it does not heal immediately on his arm in any way. The black Icarus kind of thick blood that's kind of half coagulated but being pushed out by every beat of his heart just kind of slowly dribbles out onto his arm.
Dungo masks, and we both pull down a mask over the face. This is not the first time we've dissected a zombie in the basement before, although this is the only time it's been alive. And he quickly, he doesn't want this black ichor to spread, so he's immediately got gauze on it, he's bandaging it up. He got kind of the information he needs, so.
Well, Colton, this is... You're still... Did that hurt?
No, I didn't really feel anything. I mean, I could feel the pressure of it, but there's no pain.
Okay, well, we'll keep an eye on that. Good to know. And he just finishes. He's got bandages.
Well, you're like going through all your wraps or anything. I'm like, that's not really necessary. It should be.
It's for me, son. I gotta not drink any of that.
Well, are you planning on drinking it?
Well, breathing it, drinking it, looking at it. I don't know. If you are still... If virus is still affected by copper, it seems that this... is the same virus. I don't know why it stopped, but perhaps we can find out.
That would be nice if we could find out, because I'd like to know myself.
Okay, yes, and he's all the time, he's writing something down. He's got a section in his journal that he's just penciling away like crazy, writing down as much as he can kind of parse from the brief little experiments.
Jungo.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious how you feel emotionally around all of this laboratory poking and prodding. Is this something you're now comfortable with because you've hung out with Dr. Jacob for a while now, or is this still something you're not comfortable with?
Yeah, I think if someone was actively looking at Junko, there's always a slight wince when there is something inserted or peeled away. But if Junko notices someone looking at him, there's this mask of happy innocence still there.
Yeah, for sure. Dr. Jacob, you're going through all of these notes and trying to sum up all of these unreal findings. You are even unsure if at any moment he could snap, go feral, and just kill you. It stopped for no reason. Why couldn't it keep going?
I think that's running in the back of his head, and I think he trusts Colton that he's being truthful in that this thing, that this bite, it all adds up. You know, this, he got this bite, it traveled within an hour like it normally would, but it stopped for whatever reason. I think he believes that to be true, but he's still wary of that switch all of a sudden flipping in the other direction without any cause or any reason.
I think, though, he's wrapped up in Colt until he realizes that his friend Jungo has been also injured, and it's, you know, he feels like Jungo is kind of his charge a little bit. They look after each other, and so he turns.
Jungo, I'm so sorry.
Oh, it's okay.
Do you want to hop up? What happened? Do you? I know it's not your favorite, but can I take a look?
Oh, yeah, of course.
The sweltering snake bite on his face is growing a giant goose egg on his cheek.
On Jacob's cheek?
Yeah.
How about this? Do you mind if I... You just got a little something on your face there, and then I'll let you look at me?
Yeah, Pike. You want to take a look at my pesky bite?
Yeah.
Go to town.
Jungo's going to put his hand, like, kind of caress your face ever so slightly, and then his fingers are going to elongate and then just sink a little bit into your skin.
Oh.
And then kind of pluck the goose egg associated cells and just suck them into his body. I have to roll for this first. I should say that.
Dude, what? This is insane. Which That's move cool. is this?
Lay on hands. Plus cool. That is a 10.
On a 10 plus, you heal 2 harm or an illness, plus they are stabilized.
So I'll suck the damaged cells into my body, and they will go down towards the fork, and the fork will get imbibed.
Have you done this before?
I'd say maybe not on you specifically, but you've probably seen me try to do it on, like, animals. Classic serial killer kind of modus operandi there, yeah.
Jungo, that's phenomenal. I had no idea that you could do that to someone else.
I've done it to the potatoes and some birds.
Okay.
And I mean, we're kind of testing things out on Colton here, so I figured, you know, in the spirit of things.
Yes, it's a brainstorm.
It's kind of spitballing, yeah. Do you feel better?
You know, I feel like I got bit by a snake a whole lot less.
Well, that's, at the end of the day, that's what we're really looking for, right?
That's the goal, isn't it? High five, Jungo.
High five to that.
Colton's sitting there watching, he's like, I thought I was a weird one. And then when Jungo mentioned something about doing the potatoes, it's like mental note, like, don't eat the fucking potatoes. Do not eat the potatoes.
Don't eat the potatoes.
This strange interaction leads into a little bit of talking over the next couple hours. And as you wait out the incursion from the night, we zoom out from the log cabin and we see a corpse on the ground. Its head spun 180 degrees around the same spot where Colton barely escaped, where he first saw this green light. And a shadow over top of the zombie he killed covers it in darkness until a bright, sickening green light appears. And we see that zombie's eyes flash open. And it begins to move. Apocalypse Tomorrow is voiced by Seamus Dack as Colton, Justin Vijay as Jungo, and Joel Enns as Dr. Jacob Loomis. This episode was also assistant edited by Joel Enns, and I want to give a special shout out to those who listened to early drafts and gave feedback, people like Taylor Brown and Solomon Schlegel, and the incredible cover art for the podcast, which is so amazing. A huge thank you to Connor Walgoose. He does awesome work and hopped on board so fast. It was just amazing. I'm Nicholas Friesen Enns, and I edited the episode and was your keeper. Episode 2 has a whole bunch of laughs, and I'm excited for you all to hear it. So, as a thank you for listening all the way to the very end, and as a reward for your long journey, I give you this gift, a sneak peek into episode 2.
I rolled a 3.
We're so bad.
We're
at
so
this
bad
game.
At this game, dude.
You guys, there's another part to this story.
No, we just wanted the first bit, and then we would move on to the next.
You're still inside your freaking fence.
I think we may have a 25% success
rate. We're grinding the levels in the fence.
We have to make sure we all got to level 2 before we moved on. It just makes sense.
I'm just a regular dude, and now I got bit by a zombie in my toe. I'm dead.
We'll fix that.